So this is the audio portion to accompany Loran versus Kumar. This is a case on how do we actually have a transfer of a deed, and introduces this concept of signed, sealed, and delivered. And so we've got Mr. Loran, 67-year-old bachelor. He must own a property that he's renting parts of it to individuals. One of these individuals is Mrs. Kumar, and they have some kind of relationship going on, and eventually he decides to convey land to Mrs. Kumar for $1. But when he gives her the signed deed, he says, "Look, please don't record it until I pass away." And then a couple days later, he goes to her and says, "You know what? Actually, I'd rather not give that property to you. So could you please give me the deed back?" Presumably, him's thinking, "Well, look, she hasn't recorded it yet. I haven't passed away, and so I can kind of get the deed back." She doesn't give him the deed back, but tells Mr. Loran that, "You know what? I've torn it up. And so don't worry about it." And her actuality is that she doesn't tear the deed up, actually keeps it for herself. And the reason she claims that she told Mr. Loran that she tore it up was to ease his mind, to make him feel okay. But actually, that isn't the case. And so here we have this suit where he's trying to essentially invalidate the transfer because of undue influence, that he's impaired mentally, and confidential relationship. We can only leave that to your minds to consider what that means with the Mr. Kumar and Mr. Loran and Mrs. Kumar. And so the question becomes is whether we actually have a valid transfer or not. Not thinking about these other questions about mental impairment, et cetera, but just whether we have a transfer when Mr. Loran said, "Look, you can't record this until I pass away." He doesn't pass away, and then he explicitly kind of revokes the conveyance by saying, "Can you please give me the deed back?" And so we get introduced. We take a look on the first slide that's kind of setting forth some of the information that I've just said to you, right? This idea of, okay, fine, if we have these facts where I give you a deed that's signed, but an explicit condition on when you record it, does that mean I've actually transferred the property to you, even if the condition hasn't been met yet? Or can I not revoke it since I've actually transferred the deed to you? And we get introduced to the basic common law here, and that is that we really look to see who has actual physical control of the deed, but we still need intent to transfer the deed. And so the basic requirements are this signed, sealed, and delivered. That's kind of where that phraseology comes from. We still require signature. There's a statute of frauds requirement for the transfer of a deed. We don't really require seals anymore. We used to, but that's not necessarily important. But we do require a physical delivery of the deed. That is kind of who has the deed in their hand. Is the person that has the current property, right? And this is not in a sense of theft of the deed. We still need to have this intent to transfer or physically hand the deed over to someone else. But the signing and delivery with intent to deliver provides enough evidence of transfer. And so applied specifically in this case, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court says, look, he clearly signed it, Mr. Loran. He clearly intended to deliver the deed to Mrs. Kumar. And just because there was this later condition on recordation doesn't deny that we've got the completion of a delivery of a deed. And so I'm really sorry, Mr. Loran, even though you had a kind of second thoughts, this land has been transferred to Mrs. Kumar. And so you say, well, wait a minute, this seems kind of antithetical to what Mr. Loran wanted to happen, right? So we might have this separate kind of contractual condition. But again, the same things we've been seeing in these previous cases for land transaction is coming true here, and that is we want to make sure that there's really nice objective evidence of ownership. And if we have these conditions, some of them that might even be oral as opposed to written down, which might have been the case here, not all third parties know about that condition. So as long as we can see that someone has the deed in their hand, here Mrs. Kumar, and it's been signed, right, that's enough to tell third parties that Mrs. Kumar is now the owner of the property. And so we want to kind of create these kind of clear, bright line rules to identify ownership of a real property, of the property that's the case here. And so just because there was this other condition is not enough to deny that. Now, could Mr. Loran have other causes of action against Mrs. Kumar? He might not be able to revoke the transfer, but he might have a contract claim. He might have kind of tort or fraud claims against her, right? But those would not get him the property back. That might potentially get him other damages in some way. And so this is where we get this kind of interesting application of the idea that kind of delivery is a key part of knowing what you have a transfer of property. And so one of the other cases that's talked about in Loran is the Cragans estate case on 287. And there you have a scenario where, and you can actually, if you want to, go to the second page of this two-page slide. And so the box on the left of that picture is kind of a representation of what maybe the Cragans case looked like. And the idea here was there were deeds in that tin box. It's silver. Let's assume it's tin. That were there in an envelope for 23 years, and there was endorsed on there to be recorded upon Mrs. Cragans' death if before me. The actual box with these deeds in it were in possession of the grantee, the person that was supposed to get these things and record them upon her death. And the push was, but wait a minute, the delivery was conditional, right? So just because they had the tin box with the deeds in it is not enough. And the Pennsylvania Supreme Court says, you know what, we don't know what that endorsement means, right? And we don't know what its relationship is to the things that are in the box. And just because, as long as the person has these deeds in their physical possession and they've been signed, that's enough for us to have a transfer there. Now, again, there needs to be the intent to deliver. That is that Mrs. Cragan actually wanted to put these in the grantee's hands. It can't be a scenario where someone stole them from Mrs. Cragan. That would not be a proper delivery. And so a question comes up. You say, well, then how do I do something like this? And so one of the main ways that you do something like this, if I want one of these conditions, right? So I might not be there to physically deliver, but I'd like it to be delivered if some condition happens. This is where we can use a third party, an escrow. Where there, the deed has not actually been transferred to the escrow because I didn't intend for them to get the deed. I just say to them, can you hold on to this for me? I'm not delivering it to you. Can you just hold on this for me and deliver it to this third party or here, whoever had the deeds in the Cragans estate case, if a condition's been met, right? And if the condition hasn't been met, then delivery never happens, right? Because I didn't intend a delivery to happen unless the condition's met. And so an escrow is a way to kind of figure this out. And a lot of times the escrow scenario is one that takes place when we think about the transfer of property, particularly in a kind of a mortgagor or mortgagee scenario. So if we're still on page two, so we got this sense of signed, sealed, and delivery, and that delivery is king. That's the big thing to know on transfer. What about question two, which gives a factual scenario that's a little bit different than Loran or the Cragan estate case? And this is from a Utah case where we've got an individual executes a deed, right? So that means they sign it to Flora Cheney and puts it in a safe deposit box. And the safe deposit has the names of Cheney and Francis Wiggle. And Lillian says to Francis that, look, your name's on the box. The box is in this safe deposit box. It's got the deed in there. And that upon my death, you will have access to the box. And inside, there will be an envelope that you can have upon my death. The question in that case was, what happens if Francis gains access to that box before Cheney's death, right? Do we have delivery? And there the court actually says, no, we don't have delivery. So unlike in the Cragin's estate case where I actually handed the box to the grantee and said, here, look, don't open this until my death, and you can have whatever's inside that. Steer, we actually had delivery in that case. But in Francis, it was put in a safe deposit box, so not delivered to Francis. And the delivery doesn't happen until I say to Francis, look, you can gain access to the safety deposit box once I've passed away. And there the Utah Supreme Court decided that we didn't have delivery. And so we didn't perfect the transfer. And just because Francis got his hands on it doesn't mean now that he has the deed because and it's been transferred to him because it was signed. We didn't actually have delivery taking place. In some ways, we can think of the safe deposit box as the same as an escrow, a third party, right, that's holding on to it, right, until it gets transferred. And so this is why, if you look at the bottom of page 2 of the slides, looking at question 4, right, what happens if I take the deed to the bank to be held in escrow, right? That's the kind of similar analog to the scenario of the safety deposit box in the question 2, the Utah case. Right. The bank, yes, they have the deed. It's been signed, but I did not intend to deliver it to the bank. I've simply told them to hold it. Right. In some ways, I haven't delivered it really to anybody until a certain condition's met, and then it's transferred. So that's a way in which we can have these kinds of transfers, even though maybe somebody physically possesses it, but I didn't intend delivery to them. In contrast, in Loran, he intended delivery to Mrs. Kumar. He handed it to her, right? So she has it. She was the one that was intended to get the deed. It just turns out there was a condition on the front of it, and we don't care about the condition with regards to delivery there if it's already in the hands of the intended party in which the deed was supposed to be delivered to. So sign, sealed, not so much anymore, and delivered.